Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Hoboken Grace Podcast. We hope today's message inspires you on your walk with God and supports you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. We want to help you in that, so every message from every week is available live and on demand on our app or at hobokengrace.com. Thank you for choosing to spend time with us, and we'll see you next week.
Well, happy new year. Wherever you are, I hope you're traveling safely back home and getting settled in. We're excited to be able to come back together in person next week as we launch into our new series. But before we get there, this week is what we typically call Vision Sunday here at Hoboken Grace. And we talk about where it is that we're going. And I love that part of the new year. I love looking back at the past year and looking at what God's done. And for us as a church, it's amazing. I mean, we basically spent the entire month of December just celebrating all of what God's doing and how God's working. And then looking forward to the next year. And okay, what is it that I want to see happen? And there's a lot of different ways that all of us do this. So we set goals or resolutions, whatever it may be. And as a church, every year, we take this Sunday to be able to look forward as, wow, and what does God have in store for us as we move into this next year? And I want to do that today, but I want to do that in a little bit of a different way, because I want to talk not just about God's vision for us collectively as a church, but specifically, I want to talk about your vision as you move into this next year, because I think the two are incredibly intertwined, and we'll get to that as we move through it. Now, some of you have thought about this before. Some of you have never thought about this before as it pertains to your vision for you. And I'm not just talking about your goals. I'm not just talking about your career path. I'm talking about who it is that you're becoming. Not just the roles that you play, not just how are you becoming a better parent or a better roommate or a better friend or a better spouse. I'm talking about the core of who you are, what defines you. Who are you becoming? Who do you want to become as you move into this next year? One of the ways that we might talk about this, or one of the words that we might use to describe it, is this idea of character. Who it is that you are. As you look to this next year, what's your vision for you? Now, all of us, whether you've thought about it or not, all of us have a vision for ourselves. Some of us have really thought through this. Some of us have put work into this. For others of us, it exists. We just have never really paid attention to it, even though it's really significant. As a matter of fact, almost every decision in your life is impacted by your vision of who it is that you want to become, who it is that you are becoming. This vision is influenced by all sorts of different things in our lives. It's kind of built along the way, if you will, as we're growing up. When we're younger, it's heavily influenced by our parents. And we looked at our parents and either said, I want to become like that, or we said, I don't want to become anything like that at all. We watched the way that they carried themselves, the way that people interact with them, and said, I want for people to interact with me that way. And so we started to shape this vision of who it is that we wanted to become. I want to be like them. Or we saw the way that people interacted with them, the way that people perceived them, the way that people described them. We said, I don't want to be like that at all. And so we kind of created this anti-vision, if you will, that we wanted to become. And when we talk about vision, think about it that way. Think about, okay, how is it that you want people to perceive you? How is it that you want people to interact with you? How is it that people would describe you? And as we grow up, again, mentors, teachers, there's all sorts of people who impact this in our lives. I had a cousin who impacted this really powerfully in my life, because, and many of you might not expect this, but when I was younger, I used to talk a lot and I'd often say things that got me in trouble and made me look foolish. And I remember watching my cousin, and he carried himself with this quiet confidence. And I watched the way that people respected that and engaged that. And as I watched it, I said, I want to be like that. How do I imitate that? It began to shape my vision for who it is that I was becoming. And there are all sorts of people along the way who've shaped that for me. Now, again, some of you have thought through this. Some of you have never thought about this at all, even though it's powerfully part of your life, even your day-to-day experience, what you wear, how you spend your money, who it is that you're friends with. All of this is impacted by your vision for your life. And it's important that you take the time to think through it because it impacts everything. It's interesting. Even movies impact this. And some of you watched a movie. I love it. Anthony talks all the time about his love for Indiana Jones and how a character can impact our lives in such a powerful way because we watch and be like, I want to be like that. I want to carry myself like that. I remember when I was younger, I used to watch Michael Jordan play basketball and I constantly just try to imitate it. I remember one time I was interacting with my coach and I was watching this video of Michael Jordan shooting and then just trying to practice imitating it perfectly. He says, do you really think you're gonna be able to shoot like Michael Jordan? I said, no, but I wanna imitate the best. And all of us, we have these different things that shape our vision. Now, some of us have really solidified visions. We know exactly who it is that we want to become. Others of us have visions that are changing all the time. You've met these people. They're different based on who it is that they're dating. As a matter of fact, they dress differently based on who they're dating or who their friends are, and they constantly are just shifting. You don't really know who you're going to encounter the next time. It's different for all of us. Some of us have impossible visions. I remember a couple of years ago, I sat down and I was working through this and I wanted to be the best speaker I could possibly be. And I wanted to be the best leader I could possibly be. And I wanted to be the best dad I could possibly be. And I wanted to be the best husband I could possibly be. And I wanted to be the best friend I could possibly be. And I realized that's not a vision. That's a fairy tale. That's not a reality. That's a fairy tale. And one of the hard parts of developing a vision is realizing you can't be everything. And some of you are still living like you can be everything. And in the process, unfortunately, when you go down that path, you end up really not becoming anything. So you have to do the hard work of vision. Who is it that you're becoming? I walk through this oftentimes in counseling, because individuals will come to me and say, I don't understand why I keep making the decision that I'm making. And I keep making decisions that are destroying my marriage. We work through and realize you have this vision. You want to be the party animal. Guess what? That doesn't lend itself well to marriage. And when that's your vision, it's not going to work out well. And you can't have both. And all of us, we have to do the hard work of vision if we're going to grow. And I don't think that this is something that's just a nice thing to work through. As a matter of fact, I think God calls us to work through this. In Ephesians, as Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he calls them to this, specifically to understand what their old vision was. And sometimes this can be hard, because some of us have visions that we need to leave behind. To identify what our old vision was and then to begin developing a new one. Listen to what it says. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard him and were taught, surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, put off who it was that you were becoming, that you wanted to be, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, which is driven by all the wrong things, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, this transformation of your minds, changing the way that you think about the world, the way that you understand yourself, the way that you understand God, the transformation of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He's writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says, you need to do the hard work. He says, you were taught the truth of who Jesus is. So I want for you to practice what that means in your life. You need to work through, okay, what was your old vision? And then work on, okay, what is your new vision? After you've encountered Christ and the reality of what Jesus has brought into your life, and for those of you who are exploring this, you need to understand that Jesus steps into your life and says, I want to make you new, and I want to bring you into eternal significance. I want your life to matter. I want you to be part of this family. I want you to be part of this mission. This is an invitation Jesus makes to every single one of us, no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been. Jesus paid for all of our brokenness, that old vision that was driven by all the wrong things, selfishness, accumulation. He says, I want for you to leave that behind. I've paid for that. I've paid for that brokenness so that you can embrace this new vision. He says, I want for you to create this new vision, and it should be influenced by what it is that Jesus has done and the reality that he's calling you. When he says, who is it that you should look up to? Who is it that should inform that vision most? He's calling you to be like Jesus, to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He says, okay, I want for you to do the hard work of reshaping this vision, and I want for you to do it in such a way that Jesus is the one who informs that new vision more than anything or anyone else. And I know some of you right now are saying, oh, this is like a what would Jesus do conversation. And so I'm working through what would Jesus do. And maybe you've seen the bracelets or whatever. Listen to me. I'm talking about something so much deeper than that. I'm not talking about actions. So often, and this is one of the problems when it comes to resolutions, when it comes to goals that oftentimes we set for the new year, we look at how we're going to change our actions. But one of the things that Scripture has taught us over and over again is that actions are the outworking of character, the outworking of what's in here. It's the outworking of what is at the core, the heart. Listen to what Matthew 12 says. It says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Jesus is actually talking to the Pharisees at this point, and he says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus says, no, out of your heart, that's the outward. That's what produces the actions. He says, no, this is about more than just actions. This is about what's in here. Proverbs says it this way. It says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Actions flow from what's in here. And so as we engage this question, it's not what would Jesus do? It's no, it's deeper than that. It's who would Jesus be? Who would Jesus be? Dig deeper than just what would he be like? No, who would he be? If Jesus were to have your personality, your resources, your roles, who would he be? Who would that be? How would that person engage? How would people perceive him? How would people describe him? Who would he be? Paul says, I want you to do the hard work of vision, identifying your old vision, identifying the one you need to leave behind, and the pieces of that. You may not have to get rid of all of it. Some of it may have been informed by good things, and it aligns with who he would be. But a lot of it you have to take off. And he says, I want for you to put on this new vision based on what Jesus has done for you and who he is. Who would he be? It's not a small thing. And this is one of the reasons why I love to come back to this in my own life over and over again. Because my vision gets hijacked all the time by the world around me. And we live in a world that's constantly trying to sell us on different visions. Every commercial you see, every billboard you see is selling you on a vision of who you could or should be. Don't you want people to see you like this? Don't you want people to interact with you like this? If you own this car, you'll drive down the road and everyone's going to look at you like you're Matthew McConaughey. I don't know why people want that to be true, but apparently they do. This is how they'll see you. My vision's constantly being hijacked by the world around me. And Paul says, no, wait. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Do the hard work of vision. So I ask you, who are you becoming? As you look at this next year, who are you becoming? As you look at the next stage of your life, who do you need to become as you step into that next stage? As you take this next step, whatever the next step is for you, who do you need to become? And you say, well, how do I even do that? Well, I want to share with you a tool that our staff uses, has been using for years now, that I've been using for years now. It's called a life plan. Now, as we walk through this, it's a simple process. But if you come into it with the understanding of what Paul shares with us in Ephesians, it changes things a little bit because it takes it to another level of saying, wait. Who would Jesus be? What is it that Jesus would prioritize? What is it that God's grace impacts when I think about who it is that I'm becoming? Now, we're going to put the link inside of the app under this conversation, so you'll be able to download it, and you can work through this if you'd like to be able to use this tool. There are a lot of different tools to do this. The important thing is that you work through the vision, but I want for you to be able to see what it is that we do, and the process is really simple. So step one, the first thing that you do is you identify what's important to you. Now, on the worksheet, there's all these different categories: friends, family, time with God, relationships, all of these different pieces that you can walk through. And maybe that's the whole list for you. Maybe you add a few, maybe some that don't apply to you. But the first thing that you do is you work through what's important to you. Now, I would challenge you to do this, to really work through, okay, if Jesus had my personality, my roles, what is it that would be the priority for him? And you're also going to identify where are you the furthest from where you want to be, and then which are the ones that you want to work on most. So you say, man, when I look at it, when it comes to my personal time with God, I'm probably the furthest from where I want to be or where I think Jesus would be and how Jesus would engage this journey. Or maybe when it comes to friendships, I realize I'm the furthest, but you work through that and identify, okay, what is it that's important to you? Now, here's the thing. You can't work on everything. We try this in our lives all the time. We think, man, I am going to completely change myself this year. You will be very, very fortunate if you're able to impact two of these areas in your life this year. It takes work. Growth takes work, doesn't it? It takes work. And so one of the things that I encourage you to do, one of the things that this process encourages you to do, is to just identify two, at the most three, that you say, you know what, I'm gonna dig into this year. I'm gonna reshape this vision. And not just reshape this vision, I wanna work on who I am. So you're identifying, okay, what is it that's important to you? Step two, choose the life priorities that you'd like to focus on. So those two or three. Step three, and this one's really important, write a vision statement for each priority. Not based on what you think or what, write a vision statement based on, okay, what would it look like if he were to step into these roles? What would it look like? And describe it. Write out that vision for that aspect of your life. And this takes time, but articulate it. No, at the end of the year, this is going to be true of me because this is what God's calling me to. And listen to me. You are not working on this alone. One of my favorite passages is is when God steps into our life and says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. When you step into this, you're partnering with God in what he's doing in your life. You're partnering with God in what he's doing in your life. This is the most important thing for God in your life, who you're becoming. And so don't become overwhelmed with it. Engage this in prayer and say, God, who is it that you want for me to become? How can I partner with you in who you're working for me to become in my life? And so write that vision statement. The next thing is make a plan for growth using specific activities. And so if that's going to be true of you, what are the things that you need to practice? Again, two or three things for each of these two or three priorities. You're not going to be able to do everything, but two or three things. And look for what I call our domino activities or domino habits. So there are certain habits in life that if you accomplish that habit, if you actually establish that habit, there are all sorts of other things that just automatically fall in line. And you don't even have to work at those other things if you actually do this. And so some of you, you know, if I get up on time, turns out I work out. Turns out I spend time with God. There's all of these things that fall in line. There's this one domino habit that sets everything else in line. Look for those when you're working through this process. What are two or three things that you can build into? And this is important. Make sure that these are things that you can schedule, that actually go on your calendar, that you're going to see day after day after day after day. And do the hard work of doing that. Put them into your calendar. Okay, this year, I'm going to spend that day away every month with God. I'm going to take that afternoon away with God every single month. I'm going to make that a priority. Or maybe I'm going to build fasting in. Whatever it is, make sure that you actually take the time to put it on your calendar. Don't just plan it in your head. Plan it in your life. And then step five, begin to live it out. Begin to live it out. Now, this is really important. And I remember when my coach said this to me years ago. He said, I want for you to read this plan, this life plan, I want for you to read it every Monday morning. And I thought, that's never going to happen. And to be honest with you, at the beginning, my life plan wasn't very effective because I didn't read it every Monday morning. And he used to get on me over and over again. He pointed out, this is one of those domino habits. But you need to remind yourself of that vision. Why? Because it gets hijacked constantly by the world around you. And so you have to remind yourself of it. It's one of those things that I come back to on a weekly basis. Okay, this is my plan. And one of the things that will help you with step six, which is stay on course, is to remind yourself of it over and over and over again. And then step seven, establish accountability. Don't just do this alone. Don't walk through this alone. Have someone else that you're talking to about this. We prioritize this as a staff. As a matter of fact, we take one Monday afternoon every month for our staff members to be able to get together and talk through this, to work through this. Why? Because we want to help each other grow. We want to help each other become who it is that we believe God wants for us to become. And here's the thing. This isn't going to happen overnight. This isn't a resolution. The problem with resolutions is that we come into January and say, we're going to change our life now. And these are all the things I'm going to practice from this point on. That's never going to happen. That's not the goal of this. The goal of this is that over the year, you're going to begin to put these things in place. So don't even try to put all the activities in place right away. Start with one or two. Get that established and then build on that. And be in a conversation with someone else about it so that we can develop this vision for who it is that we're becoming. So that we can follow God and what he calls us to in Ephesians, that we can put off that old vision and step into the new, that we can actually become who it is that he's creating us to be? And you say, well, Chris, what does this have to do with our vision as a church? Well, from the beginning of the Home Initiative, we've come back to this passage over and over again. It's found in Psalm chapter 1. It says this, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of wickedness or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." From the beginning, our goal has been to be this tree, that we as a church would be solid, unmoving. No matter what storm, no matter what comes, that we would be solid, unmoving. And we talked about from the beginning, extending our branches so that more can find home. But here's the reality. This begins not because we get a building. This is accomplished not because we get a building. This is accomplished because of who we're becoming. And this next year is really exciting as we look at the building and all that comes with that. That's really exciting. But that's not the core of what's going to allow us to accomplish the mission better. That's not what's going to allow us to be this. This will happen because of who we're becoming. Because we decide, no. We're going to be this individually so that we can be this collectively. Who are you becoming? As we move through this year and the conversations that we have planned, we're going to come back to this over and over again. Who are we becoming? Who are we becoming? So that we can become this. So that we collectively can become this. So that we can, as we've said from the beginning, bring home to more and more and more of those around us. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for how you call us to this vision, the vision of who we were created to be, and how you set for us this example of your Son, that you're working for this in our lives. And I pray that as we move into this year, that we would set our focus on that we would look to you, that we would establish this vision. This is who we're becoming. This is where we're going, both individually and collectively. In Jesus' name.